And we're live. Welcome everybody to Lais and the Coach.
Hi guys.
As promised, more and more episodes, which we normally never do, so it's like a record
for
us. And today we are live with not only a Team Forever athlete, but I am pretty sure one of the first, if not the first member of our new gym.
Yes!
I was like, what the fuck's he going with this?
Anna, welcome to the show. Anna just did the WBFF transformation category in Atlantic City just 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And we've been plotting to get her on the show so that she could share
her story,
how this all came about, how she felt, and all of the things that led her to get to this part of her journey. So Anna, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
We're so glad.
So the first question has to be, were you always interested in competing or getting on stage, or did this just happen randomly?
I was never interested in competing.
Finally! Everyone always says they've been
I've always wanted to do that.
Really? Because I never did.
Oh no, I never wanted to do that. What I wanted was the process of getting on the stage. That's what I was looking for. And to see the wall of what I call hope, but you guys call it your wall of transformation at the gym.
I like that, the wall of hope.
I love that. Mm-hmm. And when I saw that, I was like, wow, there's so much hope here, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes people just, when you look at yourself, no matter where you at, it kind of feels like there's no hope sometimes. Like, man, how am I going to get there? And you guys have that, you know, on the wall. So that was an inspiration for me. I was like, hey, I could do that one day, not realizing that I had to pose in order to do that.
How funny.
Love that.
So did the idea of doing the stage begin with, like, if I really want to get a transformation like one of these, then I have to go all in?
Absolutely.
Okay. I think a lot of times, one of the things that people ask us the most is, can I do all of that without the stage?
Mm-hmm.
And we've been talking a lot about that recently.
Yeah.
Because I think that one of the biggest misconceptions is what the stage is all about first.
Yeah.
But second, how important a goal that big is. Because throughout your journey, there were so many reasons that you could have stopped.
Yep.
And if you don't have a goal like this, you know, I always reference the vacation, right? I always say, if somebody called us today, like, it's almost New Year's, I'm sure the resolutions are coming, which I don't like, by the way.
I know. I was actually talking to people about that.
Right, but you know why I don't like them? Because today's the 20th. We're recording this December 20th. And I was just telling Anna how people just take it easy the last 2 weeks of the year.
Yeah.
But if you know today that starting next year you want to start losing weight, why are you going to wait 11 days to start if you already know?
Yeah.
So that's one of my beefs. But anyway.
Because that's not how decisions are made, right? Like,
right.
When you make a decision, that's it. Decision is made.
Like, I'm sure you knew it yesterday, too. You should have started yesterday.
Yeah.
You know? But anyway.
So,
but
did you see
no,
that?
No, but I wasn't done with my journey. You were so quick to come here. But I don't think that people realize that if you called today because you booked a cruise on that new Royal Caribbean boat that we want to go on because it's so freaking cool.
It looks ridiculous.
And you said, I'm going to go on a 7-day Caribbean vacation, and I'm going to be in this bikini on the pool or at the beach or whatever, you would still go on the vacation if you didn't follow your plan or if you didn't work out.
You wouldn't cancel
your trip.
Yeah.
This goal requires that you get on stage in the bikini and do the posing and do the things. So there's like no way out of it unless you quit on it altogether.
Right.
The transformation is the goal.
Did you feel like, and we'll get into your journey, but did you feel like that was one of the reasons for you personally, that you were able to just keep going in spite of some of the obstacles that came up?
Oh, yeah.
And when you decided to do the show, did you want to do the show, or did you just want the transformation and you knew that if you didn't have the show attached to it, you wouldn't do it?
Yes. You got it.
So I agree.
I really want the show. I was looking for the process.
Good.
Yeah, good.
And then the transformation category is one of our favorite categories.
Yes.
Like, we say it all the time.
Yes.
I'll even go as far as saying, I think that not only should everyone that wants to compete start there, mm-hmm. but I think that everyone that's curious about competing should do at least that once.
Yes.
Because it eliminates some of the other stuff about competitions.
Yes.
But inside of that, like, one of the reasons that we like it so much is because it allows somebody to have a process or a transformation that is more than just losing some weight or losing some pounds.
Totally.
You know, you are utilizing fitness and nutrition as the vehicle to not only experience a transformation, but like getting better, becoming better, a better version of you.
Yeah, totally. And what you said too, like the posing, right? Like, there's so much that goes into that process that changes you.
In your transformation, like when you go on stage, they read your bio, they say, you know, this is so-and-so, and so-and-so lost whatever amount of weight, or so-and-so did this. There were a lot of things that have led you to get to this point inside of this journey. It didn't just start a few months ago because you started with our gym.
Right.
Were you on the cusp, or were you at that point in life where you're like, I really got to do something for me?
Oh yeah.
Tell us about that. Let's go back. When did that idea start for you?
The idea started, I want to say, a couple years ago. And I had tried doing fitness on my own. I learned some stuff like online. But I was by myself.
Okay.
And so I was learning from a video at home in my living room, which is a big difference from coming to the gym and having someone actually coach me. So I started a couple years ago, and then I would get on, and then I would get off, and then I would be like, oh, I'm going to start again. And then I love fitness. Like, I have a passion for fitness. And so I'm like, I like to do this, but everything always gets in the way. Like, I'm always working for someone else or something else, mm-hmm. and it becomes more important than fitness, which it shouldn't, and I knew that it shouldn't. So I was just in search of the right coach, pretty mm-hmm. much. I was looking for that relationship, which I had looked for, and I want to say for a whole year, I looked in this area. Oh, and wow. I made some commitments with some other people, and you know, and I went, and it just wasn't a good fit.
Mm-hmm. And that's so important.
It's very important.
Because the coaching relationship is a relationship.
Yes.
You know, and just like anything else, it goes both ways.
Yeah. Yep. And know, not everybody's for everybody.
And a lot of times, and I know a lot of coaches don't talk about the other side, mm-hmm. because everybody looks at, well, somebody's looking to hire a coach, they hire the coach, but it's got to be a good fit both ways. It's the only way it really blossoms.
Yeah.
Because if not, then there is, you know, if you don't connect, for one reason or another, then it's hard to deliver.
Like any other relationship. You know? You've always said that. You're like, always. You know, I have a say too, and like, if I'm really coaching this person or not. Not because I'm a bad person, I don't want to help, but more like when it's not a good fit, like you just can't do
sometimes it doesn't work, you know? Now, you said a few things there that we've been talking a lot about, especially because we've done so many episodes recently, but you're busy. You're really busy, right?
Yes.
You're a mom, you're a wife, you're a business owner. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about some of those things just to give people context to what your days look like.
Yeah. Let's go into it.
Okay, so I'm a wellness coach as well. Mm-hmm. So I actually have clients that I coach. I work out of a storefront. I own that business. I'm there a couple days a week. And then I also have a breeding business where I have puppies and I help the mom deliver puppies and stuff like that.
So, and you care for them?
And I care for them. So I have 5 dogs of my own. And then at times when they have puppies, there's times that I have at home at one given time, maybe like 20 puppies at one. Well, with my dogs, and then another 2 litters. And I have to keep them for 8 weeks, which I did. When I first started with you guys, I actually had a litter. And then I had a second litter. So I actually already went through this process coming to the gym, and I was literally coming like 5-6 days a week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For 5 months.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So that was really good. But, and then I also, another thing that I do is that I go to church. And so I'm one of the leaders. So I have a lot of responsibility there.
So you don't go to church on Sunday for an hour?
No.
She's like, oh no.
That's not the way it works. No.
It's actually, Sundays could be my busiest day of the week.
Right.
But you're involved in the church community.
I am involved, and I'm usually there either Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday. My daughter does dance on Wednesday nights. My daughter does vocals on Monday nights. So pretty much every night of the week,
there is something.
Doing something other than work and fitness.
Yeah.
Right. So how did you figure out, so two-part question, how did you figure out where you would fit time in for you, right? Once you decided to go on this journey. And then the other part is, what was different about, let's say, the month before you started this journey? Because the things that were happening were still happening.
Yes.
And I think, and I'm asking because a lot of times, one of the things that I see is that people will say, you know what, next month, when this is over, I'll be able to start. Because then I won't have to do this, not realizing that next month is going to be something else.
Yes.
You know?
Right.
So how did you navigate through all those things? Because you still did them all. And what was different, like, the month before? Was it in you, or what happened there?
So I had to say no to some things, number one. So if there was, when you guys first opened up the gym, there was only 5:30 and 6:30
mm-hmm.
p.m.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to navigate around that. So I had to find my support system in that area where my husband comes into play. And I would say, okay, Mondays, I'm not able to take Lanaya to her vocals. So can you step in and you bring her, because I'm going to be at the gym. Mm-hmm. And he would say, yes.
Imagine that.
Amazing what happens when you ask, right?
I'll do it. That, and then some other engagements that were happening maybe on another night that had to do with those hours, mm-hmm. I would just say, I'm sorry, I can't go. I'm tied up, you know. And I did get some feedback from people. Like, you're busy, you know, like, you're not coming around as much. And, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm like, I'm working on something. Like,
right.
I have a goal that I need to meet. And I can't meet it if I'm going to every engagement.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Was that hard?
Yeah.
Was it hard on them, do you think?
Yeah.
To see you, like,
yeah.
do something else?
Yeah.
That is part of the transformation, though.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hard thing to do, to be like, I'm also going to take care of me, right? Like, and that might mean that once in a while I have to say no to you, whoever mm-hmm. you are. Like,
yes.
That's a hard shift, especially when you've lived your entire life doing it that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that
was it easy for you to make that switch, or was it a constant, like, did you have to remind yourself regularly? You're like, no, not today. Like, I got to do my own thing.
It was easy.
It was easy. You were ready.
I had to do it.
Yeah.
There was no, if it would have been hard, I probably would have been over there.
Right.
So I really, like, once I made the decision where I need to be here 5:30 and 6:30, then that's it. Like,
that's it. That's the thing. I think a lot of times people don't realize that they're not ready.
A decision.
They want to tiptoe.
Once you make a decision,
they
want to,
you know,
it.
They want to put their feet in the water.
And that's what you were saying about, like, if you know you need to make a change, why are you waiting 11 days?
Right.
Like, mm-hmm. once the decision is made, that's it. It doesn't matter if it's a Monday, if it's a new month, if it's a new year, if you've got a million things going on. That when the decision is made, the decision is made.
Yeah.
If it's not, then it's just not yet.
Yeah.
Right? Like, people think that it is, but it's not. It's very, very, like, very obvious.
I also don't think that people realize that when you're not ready to make that decision and you start, you half-ass it,
yeah,
and then you don't get the outcome, and you think that it's
that you tried,
you believe you tried, and you also think, well, that program wasn't it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, you weren't all in to begin
yeah,
with,
exactly.
You know,
100%.
So, what was different? Like, let's say the month before you started in June, mm-hmm. right? So, what was different between May and June? Like, what happened there?
Oh man, I have to think of May and June.
See, seems like a lifetime ago.
Yeah. I think I was probably working more.
Okay.
Yeah. I was like, physically at my storefront location more.
Mm-hmm.
And so I gave that up. I think that's the biggest difference that happened. I was there more.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And when you made the commitment, you were like, I'm in, I'm doing this. Because even when you started with us at the gym, you weren't really getting ready for the show yet.
Right.
We had that conversation.
You were just
at
the gym.
But as you were there longer, there were questions, right? How does that work? And how does this work? The wall of hope.
Yeah.
You know? Was it all of the transformations, or were there any transformations in particular that inspired you to say, you know what? Or was it just all of them?
It was all of them.
Yeah.
It was all of them.
That's why it's so important to chat with everybody.
Yeah.
Because you will always get something from each of these interviews and all these talks. Everybody has some insight that everybody could benefit from. And because there are so many different people,
right.
it's really, I guess in my opinion, relatable to more people, because you see people just like you doing
all types of people,
and again, that's why Lay started, right? She was at that point of being a mom and caring and giving, and you start to feel not what about me, but more
I have nothing for
I got nothing going on here,
I work, I take care of kids. At the time I didn't work, actually, but I take care of kids, I take care of the house, I take care of the husband. I'm always thinking about everybody else, but it's I don't like what I see in the mirror, and I don't feel like I'm working toward anything. Because even our everyday work, you're not, even if you have things that you want to do or accomplish, even now, business and whatever, it's different to work toward a business goal than it is to work toward a personal goal.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because you feel like you're evolving, you feel like you're important.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's exactly
Isn't that interesting as a business owner that, with all the things that you're doing and you've done, how much effort you're willing to put into your business? But when it comes to you, the level of commitment and effort is rarely the same. Even though both things are for you, right? Because if you're working on your business, it's for you.
Yeah.
But the drive that sometimes we have as entrepreneurs or business owners is so much higher when the food part, it's not that it's complex. It's a small amount of time that you have to dedicate to putting food in your mouth, right? Which you're going to do anyway.
Right.
And the 45 minutes or hour that you have to dedicate
to training,
to exercising, which is good for you to begin with, you'll give your business, 36 hours in a row if needed.
Mm-hmm.
But you won't take the hour, to stop for a second, which would give you more energy to keep working anyway.
Right.
But it's such an interesting thing, because both things are for you, but one requires that you stop and actually take care of the vessel.
Yeah, that allows you to keep going.
That allows you to keep going. And even knowing that, we don't.
It's hard to look at it that way. But go ahead.
No.
What I was going to say is, earlier when she said, I had to say no to things, right? It's sometimes when someone goes on a journey, whether they're thinking about it or they just started it, a lot of times people get hung up on but I'm going to have to weigh my food, or I'm going to have to eat. What am I going to have to eat? Or am I going to have to train hours a day? When really, if you really stop, because a lot of people don't stop, what is going to be the most challenging part about this, right? And for a lot of people, it is that. It is I got to put myself at the top of that list, and I'm not used to doing that. So it's the food is easy, the training is easy. Technically speaking, it's all very simple,
right?
Like you're saying, you're going to eat anyway, right? An hour of your day isn't going to kill you. But having to rearrange the schedule and tell people no, or ask for help, or even with yourself, be okay with putting yourself, that is a lot of times probably a lot harder than people even realize. And they don't even think that they're thinking about it, but you're subconsciously thinking about it.
I think that was the hardest for me.
Yeah.
It's saying, even to my family, when I would come home after working out, and then I'm like, I need to eat now. I can't wait.
I'm hungry.
I can't wait to feed everyone else. I can feed you, but just give me, because my food is already done usually.
Right, I just gotta eat it.
So I just gotta heat it up. So just give me a moment. But that, in the beginning, that was really hard for me, because I'm eating in front of my husband and my daughter.
Right.
And I'm like, hold on. I'm gonna eat, and then I'll feed you. because it takes a little bit more time to do what I needed to do for them.
Right.
So I think that was the hardest for me. Actually sitting down and weighing my food and, you know, the whole process. And then it's like, and then I'm going to eat it up and then this. And then I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm eating. Like, I got to feed my family, you know.
Yeah.
But they understood.
Right. That's good. You need support.
Yeah.
And it
because I
and they ate. They ended up eating. Right.
Absolutely.
They ended up eating.
And sometimes they would just heat up their own food.
Right.
Because the food was ready.
Right.
Yeah.
You know.
But that's a massive shift.
What was one of the, like when it comes to food specifically, did you have some ideas or even now looking back, misconceptions about what you were going to need to do in order to get this outcome?
Yes. I was literally living off of shakes.
I know, I remember.
So for me to eat, like, rice and... It was kind of hard. Like, for me, eating was hard. I don't know why.
Period. Didn't matter what it was. Clients,
for me, I'm like, man, I want to have a shake. Like, man. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, I'm eating rice. I would not really eat rice that often, you know? Not because I thought I was gonna gain weight. It's just
not your, but you weren't eating anything. It wasn't a rice thing. It was like a food thing.
It was a food thing.
Right.
The protein was hard to get in. I thought I was gonna have to, what I like to eat. I like to eat salmon. I like to eat fish. I like to eat vegetables. Mm-hmm. Like I prefer that. I don't know if it's because I've trained myself that way for so many years. But having to eat eggs and toast, I was like, when I saw toast on my menu, I was like, what? White toast at that? I always thought that, like a complex carb, like a brown bread, like wheat bread, would give me sugar sporadically. And then I'm like, he's giving me white bread. But so I just told myself, I'm already in. I'm just going to do it.
Let me just do it.
Because I've done it myself for so long.
Yeah.
And I did not get my result that I was looking for. I knew how to lose weight because I could do that. But right. I was too thin. I would lose weight. And then everybody's like, what's wrong with you? Like, you're thin. Like, you should start eating more. And I'm like, man, like, I
can't win.
You know, but I didn't have muscle.
Right.
You know, so I was losing
muscle.
I was doing it wrong, basically.
Yeah. And then it happens.
I think along the way, like, you know, you hear back to the stories, right? It's often that we hear, I just wouldn't eat this because I thought I would gain, you know, and we have the, I just wasn't eating because I was busy and it was just easier to have a shake sometimes than to sit down and cook a meal or eat a meal, even if I was cooking for everybody else, like just to keep going, you know, and you get used to doing that for so long that that becomes your norm. It wasn't even a weight thing. It was a, it's just easier, you know, and I think you could apply that to anything. Like if people, whether it's a shake or a bar or the drive through or, you know, insert thing that becomes more convenient or easier because we are so busy or going. Because at the end, if you really break down the time, like if you really itemized hour by hour, minute by minute, there's always time.
Always.
You know, it's just that we're busy in our minds too.
But I think it's admirable that you were like, what I've been doing clearly isn't working, so let me give this a shot. I think a lot of times people like the idea of that, but when it's time to execute, it's like, yeah, but this doesn't make any sense. Like, I made the wrong choice in terms of coach, right? Or in terms of, like, this is not, there's no way that I'm people.
She's people.
I'm people. So at least, like, you went all in and did it, but it is very different than what anyone would think, which I think is what the question that you asked, like, what did you think you were going to need to do?
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of times, like, those misconceptions are so strong, like you always say, like, it's probably easier to change someone's religion than their belief in food, because it's like they're so married to it, because they've heard it for so long, they believed it for so long. But it's interesting, and I say it all the time, how with food, specifically with nutrition, sure, we should all know what to do, but like we don't, right? Yeah. So it's like, for example, like right now, like we need to like deal with the brakes on one of our cars. Like, I'm not gonna fucking try to figure it out. I'm going to take it to the person that does that, and I'm going to let them do it, and I'm going to pay them for it, and I'm going to go on about my merry way.
Like,
I don't know how to do it.
I'm not going to YouTube how to fix your brakes.
And or ask my neighbor, or listen to my coworker. But it's like, when it comes to dieting, everyone thinks that they know how to do it. It's like, you don't. How could you?
Yeah.
Right?
And the other thing is, like, one of the things that I've been saying more and more, and been more vocal about, because I don't try to be vocal about too many, I don't want to get into arguments with people.
Calmed down a lot, because it used to be like, I'm going to prevent
it. But I think that one of the things that adults don't realize is that the voice in their head isn't necessarily just weight loss related. Like, when you grew up, how many times did you have to eat all your food before you stood up?
Oh my gosh.
You couldn't get up until you ate all your food. You know, not to mention how much food did they give you?
Because there were starving kids in Africa.
Right. You can't waste food.
Yeah, we don't need that. Absolutely not.
But you got a little human, right? A smaller human, and you give them this mountain of food, and you can't get up until you finish it. Doesn't matter how long it takes, they're suffering there.
What a miserable fucking experience. I remember crying at the table.
And people don't realize that you've been programmed like that for a long time, but you don't even think about it now. Mm-hmm. Right? It's like, the novela, the soap opera starts at 6, so we don't eat after. We gotta eat before that. Because once we sit down to watch TV,
and
that's
the worst part is, now not only as an adult do you finish your plate of food without thinking about it, you fucking make your kids do the same.
Right. Like, no, you gotta eat all your food. Have any of you ever considered giving the child less food and letting them ask for more?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is that that really far out there? Because,
no.
You know, but we all grow up in that environment, you know. We all grew up in that environment, and I remember my brothers they were the worst. They would sit there for hours.
Me too.
And they would roll up their food in napkins and either put it in their pocket or throw it behind. We had like a cabinet thing. They would just throw it behind. You know, I'm like, what kind of message are you, like, it's food.
Yeah.
Why is it such a punishment, you know? So imagine that time, 7 days a week, 9-10 years.
Plus, whatever your mom said, you're going to get heavy if you do this.
Right, you know, like all these ideas, and then you become an adult, and you don't realize that the person that fed you all this information had no idea what they were doing. Because they came from, and here's a kicker. Those people came from an era where there was scarcity in food.
Yes.
And you didn't have the ability to drive somewhere in 2 minutes, have a bag given out to you, you know, or that was very rare. You know, where these days there's food readily available at all times. So the parents of the parents came from that era, and then they passed that on, but then that generation didn't realize that there was a shift, you know, and then they passed that on.
Mm-hmm.
And it was unnecessary.
And everyone keeps passing it on.
And everybody keeps passing it on, you know.
But I agree with that. It's like, back to the original point, like, I'm so happy that you were like, okay, like, what I'm doing is not working. Right? Because we all have those misconceptions. We all grew up with our parents doing something, and then our coworkers like, I tried this diet, you should do it. And then you do it. And then it's like your neighbor's mom's sister like did something else, and then you do that. Right? And it's like, we try everything and we believe it, and we will do it to the T. Until someone tells you, you gotta eat toast and you gotta eat rice and you gotta eat food and you gotta, and you're like, no.
The amount of diets that have rules.
That was a lot of food.
I will do whatever, but like not eat food.
Yeah, my family was like, you eating again?
This isn't gonna work.
Yeah, my husband and I went away, and he's like, you can eat again, and you can have ice cream, and I'm like, yes. I'm like, it's on my meal plan. Look. And he's like, okay. He's like, wow. I never knew that. And I'm like, me neither.
There we are.
It takes us.
So along the way, like you said at the beginning, like posing was a challenge.
Oh my goodness.
Did you think it was gonna be like day one, or did you think like no, that's just walking, I got that?
No, day one I didn't ever think about posing. I didn't know what I was thinking. I wasn't thinking, right? So if you've never had the experience, that you don't
you don't know
what it entails.
Right.
So I didn't think about it.
You're like, I'm just going to lose some weight and
just
going to
get muscle.
Right.
And train. Like, look good, put on a bikini.
That's
like,
it.
Yeah.
And then posing.
And then.
Oh, I'm so glad you didn't tell me that in the beginning. Which you probably did.
I did.
But you didn't, like, elaborate on it.
No, because it's an after. Here's the thing, like, unfortunately, a lot of people don't make it to the stage, right? Because people like the idea of showing up for themselves that much and setting a big goal, but if they haven't actually decided, anything will get in their way. Because when they have actually decided, we have seen people go through so much shit. We have personally gone through a lot of shit inside of preps, but we have seen people lose jobs and lose family members and get super sick, and we've gone through tragedy during a couple preps, and it's like, when you've decided, you're doing it. But most people haven't decided. They like the idea, and so anything will get in their way. So for me or us to elaborate on every little detail in the beginning is irrelevant, yeah. Because if you don't make it past 2 months, then what the fuck does it matter, right? So it's like, we say it like, you know, we start and we do this, and then later on as we get closer to your show, we're going to do posing, right. Which you'll do with me one-on-one, we deal with your bikini, right. We do an overview,
yes.
But we don't like...
I remember the overview.
There we go.
But I didn't think about posing.
Right.
For whatever reason. Uh-huh. It just didn't...
register.
It
didn't
register.
And then?
And then there was posing. And I was like, what in the world did I get myself into?
This is not what
you're
I
already a couple months in, so...
I was like, I cannot believe I signed up for this.
Really?
If anything I would have quit for, it would have been for posing.
Really?
That is totally not me.
Yeah.
And I was like, how am I going to do this? I'm not a dancer. I don't do choreography real well. Whenever you guys do something in the gym that is like, do this, do that, I'm like, show me that again. Let's do it slowly. You know, and I'm thinking, I cannot believe that I signed up for this. In that first posing, I was like, I am never, ever going to get this. This is insane.
Yeah.
It was horrific. But I'm not a quitter.
Uh-huh. There you go. So you had decided.
And I had decided, and then I said, I have to pose. That was hard.
Mm-hmm.
Posing is hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot harder than people think.
Posing is harder than fitness.
Yeah, and when I say that, a lot of times in the beginning, people are like, yeah, but it's my first show. Like, I'm not, like, expecting to go up there and, like, pose good. And it's like, that's not even what it's about. It's about how you're going to feel doing it. How you're going to feel when you get up there. How you're going to feel leading up to it, right? Like, how you're going to feel about your performance. It's not about, is it perfect? Like, of course it's not perfect. No one's posing is perfect. And, of course, it takes time. And it's a constant evolution. And it takes stepping on stage so many times to get it. A lot of times people look at the girl on Instagram and they're like, oh, my God, but it doesn't look like that. Like, of course it doesn't. How many shows have you done? How many shows has she done, right? And then what's your personality? What's her personality? So it's not even that.
Well, I don't even have the personality. So I wasn't winning anywhere. I was like, oh, man.
But just feeling good about what you're doing is always the goal.
Yeah.
Right? And you avoided it. Like, I did that my first prep. Like, I remember my first posing session was online, and I was like, you got to leave. He's like, what do you mean? I'm like, I'm not doing this in front of you. There's no freaking way. And he's like, you do realize you're going to do this on a stage in front of people, right? I'm like, don't remind me. Like, I'll deal with that when I get there, you know? And I never did a posing session in front of him. And I avoided posing practice. And because deep down, I was like, oh, my God, I really don't want to do this. Like, I did the same thing. Like, you avoided practicing. And if you did practice, then I don't know about it. Because you never said
anything. I did practice. But, you know, literally, it was... at my shop, a lot of the times, mm-hmm. a client will come in and I would have to serve them with meals.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I couldn't get it. Mm-hmm. You know, so I did do some practicing. When Noah came, which is my middle son, he wanted me to practice. He's like, I want to see what you're going to do. And I'm like, Noah, are you serious? I'm like, I'm not that good. And he's like, I'm going to see what you're going to do. And he literally, like, because I had to practice.
Right.
So he was home. He's like, I'm gonna sit here and watch you. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. He was not kidding.
He was serious.
He watched the whole thing. And he's like, that's hard.
That's awesome.
With heels.
But then you got it.
You know, I don't think I ever really got it.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest. Like I told myself I knew that I didn't have it. Right? In like my inner self, I was like, I'm never going to get this. So I'm just going to go with what I can. Because mm-hmm. I did practice.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew that I could do some. I couldn't remember my routine for anything. Like, no matter how many, like after number 3, it was like, oh my gosh, where did I go And I kept like rehearsing and rehearsing and rehearsing. So I just told myself, I'm just gonna do whatever comes out. Because I can't remember writing. No matter how many times I tried it.
It's the routine is a roadmap, right? Like whatever, if you've practiced, it's in there. Something is in there. And whatever comes out, right? It's just your moment. Like it's not about it being perfect.
The photo shoot weekend where we did the team practice, that helped me a lot.
Good.
Like that really, oh, although that the photo shoot was, I want to say terrible, but a great experience.
Yeah.
And they can go together.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Was that your first one?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
So a lot of firsts in this journey.
Yeah.
Not just the stage.
So she's been since June.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so like 6 months, 7 months, and you've done 2 photo shoots.
Yes.
And the show.
Yes.
You had them and a lot of posing sessions.
Yes.
Like 10, and the group posing with the team at our gym.
Yes. So that helped. That helped me a lot.
But look at all the things that you can do in
five or 6 months. That's what I'm saying.
You know, that even a photo shoot is a once in a lifetime thing for somebody. Because a photo shoot, like the way that we define it, isn't, you know, a holiday photo shoot in front of the tree. And,
that's what I was going to say. Not a photo shoot with your family at the beach all matching.
That isn't it.
No, none of that shit. Like you, front and center, you.
And your outfits and how you feel and how you want to show up in front of the camera.
Yeah.
And camera, all eyes on you. And that kind of photo shoot, which we use as a milestone or stepping stone along the way. But it, in itself is a unique experience.
Yes.
If you've never done anything like that.
And the first one was extremely uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that.
It was like nothing went right. And I was like, okay, I'm going to have to do this again. Because I knew there was something in there. Like the second photo shoot, I was like, okay, this is good, you know.
Again, okay, was the second one better?
Oh. Like I said, the first one was really like, for me, it was an experience that was terrible, but I got everything
something
that I can get out of it.
Mm-hmm. Good.
You know, at least I thought so.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, okay, for my second photo shoot, I know a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So I'm able to deliver for myself a little bit more.
Yeah.
Because it's all for me anyway.
Of course.
100%.
Of course.
100%. So going into the show, right? So you did the shoots, you practiced, you worked out. So here we are, we're in Florida, and now you're going to Atlantic City to do this thing, right? When did it feel the most real to you? Was it like the week of the show? Was it at the airport? Was it when you got to the hotel? Like, when did it feel?
When it's like, all right, this
or was
is
it
happening
in layers, you know?
I think I kind of became numb.
Okay.
I was sick.
Remember?
I don't normally get sick. I have a really good immune system. And that last week, I was on antibiotics, and I was like, this is a mess. And I still had to work out, and I still had to eat my food, and I had to drink my water. And I was like, I got a pack. I'm like, this is insane. But it got done. And then, so I kind of told myself, just do, like, whatever I had to do, I had so much to do that I really had to take things in priority and say, okay, I'm going to do this first, and I'm going to do that, and kind of, like, almost no emotional
attachment.
feelings attached.
Just like, let me get some
sleep. Like, I got to do this, and it's got to get done. Mm-hmm. So, I got to do it. Because nobody has to do it for me.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and again,
when did it feel real?
When I got off stage.
I love that you asked that question because the answer is always different.
It is.
Always different.
And just a mental, like, just a side note, like, not only were you sick, but there were other things going around in your life that, again, could have been the reason that you have to take a moment and stop, you know?
Well, I thought you didn't make it.
And keep moving forward.
I thought that had happened.
Right. Well, coincidentally, we thought you and Bree were leaving on the same flight.
We were supposed to.
And then you missed the flight, too. Like,
and when she said Anna didn't come on my flight and Anna's not answering her phone, I'm like, oh my God, she's not going to make it. Because we knew you had so much going on.
Right.
You had stuff with your dad. You were sick.
Right.
No, if I say I'm coming, I'm coming.
There you go.
If I don't come, it's really emergency.
Right.
Yeah. Like, my word is my word.
Yeah, I love that.
I'm old school.
I love that.
Amen to that.
Yeah,
so I got there.
We need some more old school people.
Yes, we do.
We need some more old school vibes happening these days.
Mm-hmm. More thick skin. Yeah. More sticking to our word. Mm-hmm. More doing less more talking. Yeah. So you missed your flight.
I missed my flight.
Okay.
And you got another one.
And I got another one.
Wow.
Okay. Next.
Next.
We got on the next flight, another airline. And we got there. We drove. Because we flew into, there wasn't enough. So if I would have stayed with the first airline, I would have missed my hair and makeup. And I'm like, no, I am not missing that.
Yeah.
I'm going to do everything. So let's go to another airline. My husband's like, okay, let's go over there. Mm-hmm. We went over there, went to the other airline. They said, okay, we have one leaving out of Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Philly.
So, okay, change the rental, call Philadelphia, make the rental. We drove.
And boom. Done.
I love it.
We got there.
Got it done.
And got it done.
I love it. How did it feel like being on stage?
Oh. How did it feel? It was unreal. Yeah. Like, I still can't believe that I went on stage. Like, yeah. I think about it, and I'm like, I see my pictures. I'm like, who is that girl?
You need to get your video. Because you guys, like, I say it all the time, or I've said it since the show. You are my biggest surprise. There's always a big surprise at every show where there's this one person or two or three or whatever that are more in their show or that are don't seem that connected or don't seem super excited or whatever. Sometimes somebody seems so excited and they like fucking crumble. Insert, I always prefer this kind of surprise where like mm-hmm. you don't think that someone's gonna actually really be present and enjoy it and then they do versus the person that you think is gonna kill it in terms of their experience and then they don't, right? But like when we watched you, because there was a TV backstage and we watched her walk out and she had her arm out, I was like, what is happening? Like I was recording, everyone was screaming because it was like not what I thought was gonna happen. Like,
yeah.
I knew she would go out there and I knew she would do something, but I did not think that you were going to like go out there. Like,
right.
I did not.
Me neither.
It was so cool.
And it was a really big lineup. There were a lot of participants.
So you were waiting in line for a while.
A lot of contestants in the transformation category and you were last.
Yes.
You were waiting in line for a while. And how did that feel waiting in that line like that?
I was literally praying and asking God to just take over. Like, just give me the grace to do what I practiced to do.
And sure enough.
All this time. And that's it. And really, that's all I did while I was there. You know, I didn't hear no music. Which when I used to practice, I didn't really have music on anyhow, so it didn't really matter. Because you said, you never know what they're going to play when you go up there. So I'm like, I'll just pray.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
And then I just went out and then...
And rocked it.
That's it.
I was like, so I mean, I don't, it was, I think the adrenaline came in after the fact. Because I held everything. I purposely was like, I'm not going to get excited. I'm not going to get, you know, because then, I don't know, I think like emotions and adrenaline cause you to do things that you're like, man, I messed up or... So I said, I'm just going to just chill out. And I didn't have any deodorant on for like 24 hours. And I was like,
because we can't.
Yeah, because we can't. Exactly. And I was like, no, I'm not going to get excited. Because I don't want to perspire. Because then that will make me nervous.
Right.
And I don't want to smell.
Oh my God, that is so funny.
So I kind of.
The things people think about.
Yeah. I kind of just like purposely did some things like, just let me just like chill out. Like be more on the.
Chill side.
And then when I went back was when I really felt it. When I was done was when I felt the adrenaline. Because when I was up there, I mean, I don't know.
You just did it.
I just did it. Like, I don't know what happened. Like, I don't even know.
We hear that a lot, too. Like, I don't know what happened, but once I walked out there, I was like, from the most shy and introverted and uncomfortable people, that moment on stage when the lights hit you, it's impossible to imagine or believe, but, like, you just... Something takes over. Like, yes, he said the same thing. Like, we've had so many people have that experience. I didn't have that experience. I blacked out. I don't know what the hell happened. Mm-hmm. I don't remember a single thing. I remember getting upset and being like, did I do my routine? Like, what did I do? Like, what? Like, I just blacked out. I've never blacked out in my life over anything, but I blacked out and I got off and I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna throw up. And I'm like, I'm never doing that again. Thank God that's over. And then 2 minutes later, I'm like, oh my God, I just fucking did that. Like, it was like its own, but regardless, right? Whether you walk out there and you don't know what happened and you freaking rocked it, or whether it was my experience, there's something about that moment that's like a haze in a way and just completely out of character. And then you give yourself a few minutes to come out of it and you're like, holy shit, like, your world is forever changed, yes. You know? Especially when you don't think you could do it, or when it's not really like, oh, I'm a stage person. Like,
yeah.
Right. You
know? It's even more big.
What was, like, when you first decided that you wanted to do something like that, and now looking back at the journey, you made it all the way to stage, you went on stage, was that moment what you thought it was going to be?
I never really thought about that moment.
Okay.
Because remember, I never really did it to get on the stage.
Right.
So that for me was like a
second.
It was part of what the journey that I wanted. Mm-hmm. Like I have to do this in order to get this.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's how I felt about giving birth. I was so petrified, and I'm like, I just gotta give birth so I can have the kid. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not looking forward to it. I'm definitely afraid of it, but it's like, it's part of what I'm trying to do here.
Yeah, you have to do it.
Right.
Yeah. So I think that's what I felt. Like, I think my husband wants to more than me.
Richie had a great time.
Yeah. As soon as I got back, I looked at my phone, and he's like, you gotta go back on stage. I'm like, you mean for my gown? I'm like, no, he was talking about you gotta do another show. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I didn't even think about that. Like,
another one.
This is it.
I love it. He's great.
Yeah, he really became, like, we've been together for almost 24 years and like almost a month, right? And having him on this journey, during the process, he was there, he was supportive, but he wasn't like hands-on, you know?
I remember you telling me that.
But when he got to Atlantic City, it was like a shift. He's like, what do you need me to do? Do you need your water? Do you need your bar? Like, he just set me up for success.
Oh, like,
he did my dress. Like, I had a dress that you needed to tie back. I'm like, how do girls come here alone? Like, I don't know. Anyways.
He was carrying your bag.
He was carrying your bags. He was doing all the girl, like what you would do with a girlfriend.
Right.
You know, like, oh, can you tie my shirt in the back? Or can you do this? And he just really became like a different type of best friend in that arena. You know, like,
love that.
Fix this, fix that. Oh my gosh, your makeup. You know, he doesn't really like me with makeup too much. But he was like, I like this. Like,
yeah.
I like seeing you with different successful women, having conversations, engaging. I'm always on the go.
Right.
I'm like, if you can come with me, you can come, but you mm-hmm. can't slow me down.
Right.
If you're gonna slow me down, then I'll meet you there.
Right. Yeah.
And then we'll separate there probably. And I'll meet you when we're done, because I have a time frame. Like, I have to do things in a timely manner so that I can get a lot of things done.
Mm-hmm.
And not a lot of people don't work that way.
Yeah. Right.
So I don't have so much socialism in that area, but he saw that here.
Right. And that's something that we don't often talk about, but happens a lot. A lot of times a support system, like, they go through a transformation as well.
And so does your relationship.
Exactly.
It's so cool to add, after 24 years, a completely different side of your bond.
And that's something that we don't often address, but something that happens every single time.
Yeah.
It's so cool to see or to hear a lot of the, you know, a lot of the support systems that maybe were not super involved at the beginning, but were supported. Like,
I'll take it.
You know, whatever we need to do, we'll do it. And then toward the end, like, have input.
They're
like, no, I don't like that yellow. Or, you know what, maybe we do this and be, like, in it, you know. It's so cool to,
because
that is part of the transformation as well. You know, that at the beginning, we're not going to sit down and say, hey, and by the way, you're going to be super involved too.
Yeah.
And you're going to go on this ride.
Every husband is always, after that first show, 10 times more supportive and involved.
Mm-hmm.
Every husband has to be okay with you doing it, right? Like, right. There's a conversation. This is what it costs. This is what it entails. This is what the time thing. And they're like, okay. And a lot of them, like, don't love it along the way in terms of, like, the time or the schedule change or whatever. They're okay with it. But every husband that comes and watches their wife, and I know for a fact that it has nothing to do with the show. It's like what you're seeing in your wife that you haven't seen before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you see someone that's confident. You're seeing someone that's happy. You're seeing someone that is fulfilled. You're seeing someone that's growing and evolving and tapping into different parts of her and creating different parts of her and making friends. And it's like, if you love somebody, like, and you see that for them, like, of course you want them to do it more.
Yeah.
That's what it means to love somebody, is to want them to be well, you know? And a lot of times people don't go on this journey. And it doesn't have to be for the stage, because the stage is such a magical thing. But to take care of you, it's cliche to say it spills over. And, you know, that's the best way to take care of everybody else. And the people around you will thank you once they realize that you do it. People are like, yeah, but right now if I start doing this, my husband's going to have a fucking fit. Right? It's like, let him have a fit. He'll be okay in a few months.
Right.
You know, like, it's like, you have to show people, like, what that can do.
Yeah.
And when they see it, they are never not on board. I haven't seen it happen once.
Right.
You know, because it's so good for everybody and for everything.
100%. And, you know, and it's a completion, you know. How many things have I started in all these 24 years? And then I'm like, oh, I'm not into that anymore.
Right.
You know, even my oldest son came and he's like, Mom, like, I haven't seen you committed to something like this, like, hardcore for a long time.
That's awesome.
So he was like, good. And he loves fitness too. So he's like, let's do it, you know? And I got some stuff done with him, you know, which brings our relationship even better, because I work out with my son. Like, how cool is that?
Right.
Yes.
You know?
And my daughter, I'm using her shirt. She's like, Mom, I'm like, I need a shirt. My shirt's fit me big now.
I
she's
love
like,
that.
Mom, you need to stay out of my closet. She's like, but you look nice, though. I'm like, thank you. So they notice, you know, and they compliment, and they're thankful.
And that's a lesson for them.
Yeah.
For their future. For their adult selves. Yes. You know?
100%. You know, that if you put in the work and you stay consistent, and that even though things come up, you just keep moving forward, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it pours, and it's one of the things that we often say, right? Especially, you know, as a mom, a wife, like, you run yourself to the ground doing for everybody. You never pour back in. But this is such an example of pouring in so that you can not only give more, but then as a result of them watching you do it, it spills over.
Yes.
You know? And I think that sometimes people miss it, but it's something that they should really pay attention to.
Mm-hmm.
Because filling your cup is not always just about you. You know, right. If you're trying to be selfless, fill your cup and watch how it spills over into everybody
100%,
else.
100%.
One of the things, now that you've done everything, right? You did the show, you did the posing, you did photo shoots, you worked out, you ate the food, life happened, you got sick, like, all these things, right? What does this version of Anna say to somebody listening that's contemplating this or curious about it, or like, I don't know if that's for me, you know, for all the reasons that you said it may not be. What does this version of Anna that just did everything say to that person?
I think that just do it. Like, literally.
That's literally everyone's answer.
Like, just like do it. Don't, like, there's not even time to think about doing it. It's like, make the decision and do it. Do it for you. Do it so that you can see what comes out of there. You know, because even when I look at the pictures, I'm like, I'm still like, who is that? Like, I don't know what happened, but what happened? I put in the work. You know, and it doesn't lie. Like, I did it. I practiced, you know. Can I have done it? Could I have done it more? Absolutely. I could do everything more. But I did it.
Mm-hmm.
I did it. And that's what I would say to that person. Just do it. Commit and do it. Put sideboards on. Mm-hmm. Make it a narrow road. And go forward.
100%.
I love that. That's what everyone always says.
I love it.
What would you say is the most impactful part of this entire thing for you, for your life?
Seeing muscle on my body.
That's awesome.
Because that's really, that's my goal.
That was the goal.
That's my goal. You know, seeing muscle on my body, I want to live long. Mm-hmm. I want to live strong. I don't want infirmity. I refuse for infirmity to take over my body. And I know that I need to have muscle. Mm-hmm. I know it. So that has been the biggest, for me, that's the best thing. When I look at my pictures, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't even know I had muscle on my calf. So I got that picture. I'm like, oh my goodness, look at that, you know? So that's, for me, that's big.
We rarely take moments like this when we talk to people that have gone through the journey to overwhelmingly emphasize the importance of your health, right? Yes. Conversation one that I have with somebody is like, listen, your health is a priority. So nothing that we do along the way is ever going to compromise your health. But rarely do people prioritize their health in a way that makes them take the kind of action that's required in order to see that through. Mm-hmm. I couldn't agree with you more. We should all aim to be stronger. Mm-hmm. Because later in life, the work that you put in now is where you are going to reap the benefits of it. Right. But unfortunately, that is just not a sexy ad to, like, hey, work out hard right now, because in 30 years, you know, like, no one wants to hear that. But it is the truth. It is really what I feel. It is really what I'm thinking. And it is the bigger picture that I see.
Yeah.
But it does have to come packaged along the way in milestones. Because you do have to see it in order to say, okay, I'm on the right track.
Yes.
But if you don't look at it and see it and notice, you can easily feel like you are aimlessly exercising and nothing is happening. Because it's not the kind of reward that you can, like, take and say, okay, here it is. Like, you've got to pay attention to it, you know? And because of the quote-unquote monotony of exercise, right? Because you're... You know, there are so many benefits, and even her and I were talking about it yesterday. It's so important to move. You know, movement is medicine.
Yes.
And the way you feel after exercising is always good. But I don't think that the amount of importance that should be in how much time we should dedicate to becoming stronger humans for now, right? Because you do want to be stronger now, but also for later. But the later doesn't come one day. It's like, oh, you know what? Let me start working. Like, no, you've got to be doing that work now.
Yeah.
For now.
You have to build it.
But also for later. It's we all put a lot of effort into our 401ks and let me save for when I retire. It's like, that's what you should be working on.
Yeah.
That hour, that 45 minutes into putting in the work now so that you could reap the rewards of it later. But you can also reap the rewards of it now.
Yeah.
It's the only thing that pays you immediately.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you say it all the time, the health and fitness gets so lost.
Right.
And no one, for the most part, very few people, actually really make health their priority until they are sick.
Mm-hmm.
Or until they feel like they, like, shit, like, I need to take care of this.
Mm-hmm.
And it shouldn't be that way.
So
you shouldn't wait till you're broke to deal with money, right?
I am so happy that you said that like that, because it is...
It's the most important.
It's the most important.
It has to be the anchor.
You know?
Everything else is amazing, to be confident and to feel pretty and to fit in clothes that you
it's
want.
All great.
It's all great.
That's
it's like the anchor.
That's great.
The
but
core
the anchor.
Has to be health.
100%. Anna, like, thank you for coming on the show today.
Yes, it was great. We didn't even get into her story.
I know.
But we're going to have to do it again, because what's next? What are you doing next?
What's next for Anna?
June? Is it June?
Yeah.
My husband knows.
He knows
what's happening.
Anna's doing another show.
Yes.
So after that one, we will get into, like, all of the things that we
yes,
can get into.
Because Anna has a great story to share,
yes.
and I definitely think it should be heard. So if this is the first time that you are watching our show or listening to things, go back and watch all the other episodes, and then come back to this one, because there are so many things that were said in this episode that are so important, that really should be the cornerstone to why somebody goes on any health and fitness journey, but specifically these journey to the stage transformations that we have.
Mm-hmm.
There were so many things said today that we will have to revisit and listen to again. So again, thank you for coming on the show and sharing.
Thank you.
And for all of you watching or listening, make sure you like, comment, subscribe. And again, we still have more episodes left this year. We are closing out 2023 with more 2022. Stories. 2022.
You always say that. He's a man, that's why.
He's always closing out 2023.
I'm going to close out that year too. So. Anyway, thanks for watching, everybody. Peace out.
Bye, guys.
Bye.